All right, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome all of you being here in Amsterdam with the quarterly results, but also the annual results of Royal DSM 2010. Looking back, looking ahead, you see some cameras. There are people watching also with us via the web. I don't know how many people will log in at this moment, but we know from last year that we talk about almost 100 people who watch us also, so other people cannot watch us, but you too. I'm glad that you are here live, and I welcome all the people who join us via the web. There are people from the Netherlands, but this year we have a much more international group. We have people from China, Japan, Brazil, Mexico, Russia, etc. So very much appreciated that you are here also. And I think, I know, we met some of you yesterday evening, that the reason why even international press has come to quarterly or annual results is that it is a particular moment in time for DSM in terms of change. What I will do, I will quickly go through some of the slides. You see it in front of you. You have seen the press release, which we have issued this morning. I think the annual results, the booklet, is also available later on today. So there you can see more details. This is the integrated annual report, which integrates the annual results and the sustainability report, which is available. And also the presentation to analysts becomes available, and I use some of the slides for this presentation. What we do the last couple of years, and in fact 2 years, is not a formal press conference, people in the room and we on the stage or whatever, but like in a table like this to have a more discussion. So please feel free to ask any questions, and that is in fact what we want to me or my colleagues. We're here with the full managing board, Nico Gerardu on the left side next to me, responsible for our material science clusters, performance materials, polymer intermediates, Stefan Tanda on the right side, responsible for our life science business and life science clusters in both nutrition and pharma, and our CFO, Rolf-Dieter Swaap, sitting on the right side next to me. And I'm the CEO of the company, but I hope you knew that already. And you can follow what I'm saying on this device on the table. And I have another device here, too, from Apple. Sure. And I can use it. Yeah, it works. Oh, great. So here you see our annual figures and also the Q4 figures. The Q4 figures were in line with Q3, in fact, in terms of results, even of the continuing business, even exactly the same as Q3. And of course, you saw quite an improvement compared with Q4 last year, 2009. And here you see also the on the right side of the picture, the annual results of the total year 2010. Of course, as you know, in 2009, hit by the economic downturn, last quarter 2008 when it started. We, however, said we continue to focus on our customers, continue to focus on innovation, don't give in on that, and we hold that over the whole period. And we benefited strongly from that in 2010. Also, of course, cost reduction, cash focus, substantial improvement of sales over 2010 compared with 2009. And in terms of EBIT, even 74% improvement. And of course, that is due to the different underlying businesses. You find it in the press results, in the press release of results. Improvement, strong improvement in of course, our material science business, both performance materials in terms of EBIT more than doubled, and polymer intermediates from a little bit above break even 2009 to almost 200 in 2010. So polymer intermediates performed excellent. But also in nutrition, we showed quite an improvement. The only area, in fact, where we showed no improvement was in our pharmaceutical business, and we know that that needs to be improved. We need to take more strategic actions there. and one of the strategic actions you have already seen, because we announced that very recently that there's a joint venture with Sinochem in China. Also, confidence into the future, dividend increase, we announced that also. We announced already in September that we want to increase our dividend from 120 towards 130. Now we even further increased that to 135. So what we will propose to the AGM in April is not to increase it from 120 to 130, but from 120 to 135. So 12.5% increase of dividend, showing our confidence also towards delivering on our new strategy. 2010 was also, in terms of cash flow, you find that in the press release also, strong year, and you know we have a strong financial position, balance sheet as DSM. What we did over the last year strategically was, of course, further changing our portfolio. As I said, we closed Q4, we closed Q10, 2010, but in fact we closed Vision 2010, or in fact a period of almost 15 years of portfolio transformation. That is what DSM has been doing in the last 15 years, buying and selling companies, moving from a chemical or bulk chemical company towards a life sciences, food, pharma, and material science company, high-performance materials, including the cross-fertilization between the two, because increasingly we use the technology of life sciences, biotechnology, to make new renewable materials, and we use materials not only to apply those in automotive electronics, but also in the human body in life science applications via biomedical materials. So we've created the new company. Now, this was for us also the moment to mark that. I come back on that at the end. Therefore, our new logo, therefore Bright Science, because we are technology companies, of course, where it's based on brighter living. That is what we do. We have completed our portfolio transformation at the end of 2010. We announced the divestment of Elastomers. That's the last big divestment of DSM. We are still waiting approval, but I know from my colleague Nico Gerdu, no concerns, no issues. We expect in the coming weeks or months that closure, and that means then that the last big divestment is being done by DSM, and as you see in this picture, we have created the new DSM with divestments, a lot. You'll find it all, again, summarized in the press release, which we did over the year, and some acquisitions. From now on, we will grow, and that is the strategy for the coming years, to grow that company which we have created via four growth drivers: the high growth economies, come back to that, innovation, sustainability, acquisition, partnership. What do? We focus on those trends, as you see here in the slide on the top. Global shifts, important thing, the whole growth of the emerging, we call it nowadays, high growth economies. We have difficulties calling China, second economy of the world, an emerging economy. It is a big economy, the second in the world, but it is high growth, 10% per year. Where in Europe or United States, we talk about figures between 1, 2, maybe 2.5%, so different. High growth economies, but also climate and energy, very important theme on which DSM is contributing to, which means cars lighter, renewable energies, solar cells, coatings for solar cells, etc. And also health and wellness, increasing problems of the world where we contribute towards. The targets of last year, last period, you will find those in the press release. A lot of those were achieved, not all, especially not on pharma, but most were achieved in innovation, in China sales, in nutrition performance, in CFRI, etc. So we set new targets for the coming period, because the last period, Vision 2010, is over. And although the period is towards 2015, even with the ABAS, the new development areas, an outlook towards 2020, we put financial targets up to 2013. And an increase of our EBITDA towards 1.4, 1.6 billion euro, with an ROC of about 15%. Organic sales growth 5 to 7. You see also further increased targets around China, around the high growth economies, innovation, etc. not only the financial figures, but also in terms of sustainability. And we put our targets being in the high ranking of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. The last 7 years, we were 5 times, including last year, number one in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. But also our EcoPlus pipeline, 80%, total business moved to 50%, greenhouse gas emission reduction, energy savings, but also on the people side, targets which were formulated for the period to come. Those four growth drivers, quickly, high growth economy, 70% of the growth of DSM in the coming 5 years will come from those high growth economies, India, China, Brazil, Russia, etc. 70% of the growth. That means that in 2015, half of DSM sales will come from those high growth economies. That is a major shift in the company, benefiting from that growth in those regions. China, we will double our sales in the coming 5 years from 1.6 billion today. You remember we had 500 million sales in China in 2005. We set a target, 1 billion 2010. We increased it later on, 1.5 billion in 2010. We are now achieving 1.6 billion in 2010. And we set the target for 3 billion in 2015. So only China, 3 billion in 2015. Not only a high growth economy, also innovation. We delivered quite a bit on innovation, a target of 1 billion additional sales from innovation 2010. We achieved that, 1.3. In the coming period, we have a target of at least 20%. We change our definition, make it more tight. At least 20% of our sales should come from products introduced in the last 5 years. It's also there a target, very important, I think, growth driver for the company. And also, if you want to see, of course, innovation plays also a very important role in the high growth economies, but of course also in the lesser growing economies. In the West, we have an overuse of resources and an overproduction of waste. And if the West wants to keep its lifestyle as we have, then the West needs to learn to do more with less. And that means that we need to innovate. Now, a lot of room for innovation, which DSM will provide. Sustainability. We talked with some of you yesterday evening about that sustainability is traditionally a strong value for DSM, our responsibility as we feel. But over the years, we changed sustainability also as a business driver. In fact, we make our money with sustainability. We make cars lighter, which the car manufacturers like. We make electronics more green, which the electronics industry like. We make food more healthy, etc., etc. So sustainability is not only a value, it became a business driver for our company. So we will benefit also from that in the future. Acquisitions and partnership, the fourth growth driver. You know our strong balance sheet we have created over the years. And you will see it's also more active as growth model to using our balance sheet for acquisitions all over the world. Especially in the nutrition area, especially in the material science area, or in the cross-fertilization between the two, biomedical materials, biorenewable materials, and those kind of things. Three steps, recently announced, or even more than that, AGI in Taiwan, UV coating resins, very important for us. Joint venture with Sinochem, announced in December, into the pharmaceutical area, which is strategically very important for us. Kubishev-Azot in Russia on engineering plastics and fiber intermediates. And, of course, also the acquisition of Martek in the United States in infant formula, which this week, last Monday, we have announced that the tender offer. The reaction was very positive on that, so more than 90%. That means we are moving into so-called fast merger procedure in the United States. And that means that in the course of this week, most likely on Monday, you expect, or early next week, Friday, we will become the owner of Martek, providing a new growth platform for the company in infant formula, infant nutrition, where they are strong in. We can bring our own products in, but also their products, the omega-3, omega-6 fatty acids, which are mainly sold in the United States for them, also bringing those in via our network around the world. And as some of you mentioned, they have an LG platform in terms of technology, which fits also with the efforts we put in second generation biofuels. Conclusion, I think if we look back, 2010, fourth quarter, strong results the whole year, strong transformation of DSM completed, dividend increased 12.5%, proposed to the AGM to 135, and in fact we make a kickoff now of our new strategy. We have transformed the company, happy with the new company, which we have created in life science, material science, and we will grow that company. High growth economies play a very important role, innovation, sustainability, and acquisitions. 2011, on our way to deliver our 2013 targets, which is not that far away, and 2011 we expect another strong year of DSM. You see in the press release the remarks also on our tax rate, which including Martec, where in the United States tax rates are higher, will be considerably lower. And as I said, we're on our way towards achieving our targets in the new DSM. Indeed, DSM transformed itself over the years. What we did last week is introduce this new brand internally. Today we bring it externally. We discussed yesterday evening with some people, why do you introduce a new logo, new brand, a new flag? Though we do that very cost conscious always, those kind of things. But why do you bring a new flag? Is the excitement about the new flag? The logo itself, although it's a beautiful logo, you have to admit that, and a very clear tagline, bright science, brighter living. That's in fact what DSM is doing. Technology-based, science-based company, bright science, smart scientists, brighter living, contributing something for the quality of life of our customers and people in society. But it represents something. A brand should represent what the company is in terms of its culture, in terms of its values, in terms of its businesses, in terms of its people. And therefore we spend a lot of time and attention for that last week with our own people, because they make the brand of DSM, and they are very proud on delivering for our customers, for our shareholders, the things which we have promised to the outside world. So you see here also some of the elements where the brand stands for. Before we move into questions, to me and my colleagues, I would like to give you a little bit of a flavor. You will see a more extensive flavor of that of a movie later on today. If you have time for that, please do so. And the other part, and Angelique will guide you to that. But it was a very short video for 1.5 minutes to give you some flavor of the brand. And once again, and that's also why international press is here, I think it is unique what we have done. We have transformed our company. And if you look back to DSM, 109 years old, we have transformed ourselves a few times. And always be modest on yourself and your company. But I think we can also say with pride that we can be proud on what DSM did in transforming itself from a coal mining company to bulk chemical, then moving from bulk chemicals to more specialty and fine chemicals, and then make a definitive step now in the last period to say, hey, we want to become a life science, material science company. With all the things which are there to be needed to transform a company, and I think we did that in a successful way, entering a new era of DSM. Can I see the video?
Sun
is breaking in your eyes. Start a new day. The ways you made me feel alive. The ways I loved you. For all the things that never die. To make it through the night. Love will find you. What about now? What about me? All that I was made to be.
But thanks. So please, I would now, therefore we have the microphones on the table, so the people who follow us, and like I said, I don't know how much this year, but last year was 100 people following us via the web, this roundtable conference. Please, all your questions or remarks and discussions, if you want, please, feel free.
You just announced that you want to, DSM want to reach 3 billion in 2015 in China.
Yep.
So how could you reach that? I mean, you will invest more in China or build more local joint venture or bring more production in China?
Yeah, the 3 billion in China, we talk about sales in China, but a lot of that sales is not coming from import. Some come from import. But a lot comes from local manufacturing in China. We have at this moment, what is it, 13 different locations in China. In fact, in all our businesses, in materials, in life science, in pharmaceuticals, in nutrition, all our businesses. And we will invest, we have set $1 billion in the next 5 years into China. An important announcement there was also that we will invest in a second line for column intermediates into China. So it will be investments, it will be market growth. We also will start, we already have R&D activities in China, but we will extend that soon with a special innovation center in China. We see China is switching also a little bit. From the low-cost manufacturing country towards also innovation, R&D, etc. And we want to benefit also from that. China is at this moment, by the way, one of the biggest issuers of patents, even at the European Patent Office. I can say in green biotechnology, China is issuing every year more patents at the European Patent Office than all European countries together. So you see that China is not only a low-cost manufacturing country. So R&D innovation will play an important role. All our businesses will grow in China, but also by local investments. Yeah.
Today, earlier on, you said you're still looking for acquisitions. I was wondering whether you could say something.
You can delete the word still, but yeah. Yeah.
Whether you could say something on where you still see holes in your portfolio or your geographical spreads.
Yeah, we said the acquisitions we will do in fact, all areas where we want to grow in DSM.
Yeah, but in particular within those areas.
Well, you can expect more into the life science area, more into the nutrition area, and a company like Martek fully fits in that strategy, of course, specialized health benefit nutritional products. I mean, that's an excellent example of things we would be looking for into the nutritional area. But also into the feed area, strengthening our feed position would be things we do. In the pharmaceutical area, expect a little bit less acquisitions, but expect their partnerships, like we did with Sinochem. I don't expect a lot of acquisitions there, but more in the partnership. But also on the material sciences, like the acquisition of AGI, it was only a part of the companies which we acquired. But those kind of things, UV, a new technology, UV-based resins, coatings, plays a very important role also. So in those areas you can expect. Now, Wolf Dieter can tell a little bit how our financial position is in that respect.
Yeah, I think we have enough power to do acquisitions. We also have, of course, you could call it a shopping list. We know what would fit to us, and the AGI in Taiwan, I think, is a good example. Because it fits all four growth drivers. It is in high growth economies, it is innovative, it is sustainability because it's UV, it's a better technology for sustainable sustainability in the resins business, and it's an acquisition. So all four growth drivers in one example. And then we had the one in Russia, we had the one in now in China in the polymer, in the performance materials. So I think we are well positioned to do more.
And are there many opportunities available now? how is the economic climate, which has been a bit affected the market for that? What's your view on that?
Basically, I think availability, acquisitions at the end is a matter of negotiation and finding the right target and concluding something. So I don't think we are restricted by availability, and we are not restricted, or almost not. Of course, we are restricted. Everybody's restricted by money in a way, but the limit is quite high. So we don't see a real issue there. It is a strategy.
Changes compared to the last year,
no.
Or
yeah. Yeah.
2010.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And Rolf Dieter said it before. Some of the acquisitions, the market is sometimes speculating on what kind of acquisition, what kind of companies, etc. Take the two examples of the recent period. AGI in Taiwan is for us very important because it is new technology which plays a more important role. Nicole can say a few words maybe on that, on the UV technology for resins. But it was not really on the radar screen of a lot of analysts or a lot of people, I guess. The same with Martec, which is a company which fits excellent to us, but maybe which was also not immediately known. But there are a lot of targets around that area, which we will progress and fits excellent with DSM.
Yeah. To
Nicole,
those questions. First, my name is Aaron Grable from Reuters. You've made one acquisition with Martec, which under your definition from previous history is a large acquisition. Do you see then that you've now done your large acquisition and the focus now is then really more towards deals like AGI, more sort of bolt-on deals? And part B also might be then, if there are still possibilities for large deals, would they occur more in the nutrition sector or going back towards performance materials, given also in the animal feed sector it's a very splintered market and you might make some smaller deals in the animal feeds business?
No, but I think it could be both in materials and in nutrition. It could be nutrition in food and feed. And I would say, but Rolf Dieter, please add to that, but I would say that Martec type of size and deals, it's not one time in a life, absolutely not. Those could absolutely continue. And you can say a little bit more about our financial position, but
yeah,
those kind of things fit.
I think basically first to the areas where we target, I mean, it is basically nutrition and performance materials. As Pike already said, it's not so likely that we focus on acquisitions but rather on partnerships in pharma and also in polymer intermediates. The acquisitions are not the objective. But the third area, which also is interesting for us in acquisitions, is the emerging business area, so the innovation fields. So those three areas, nutrition, performance materials, and the innovation area, that are the main areas. And size-wise, I mean, Martec, if you translate it into euro, at the end of the day, it's somewhere between 750 and 800 million euro. So with our current cash position, we can actually do more even of that size. So I would not conclude that this is the one large, and then now we have more the size of the Agi or others which are much smaller. No, that is not the case.
Because cash position here...
Yeah, we have over 2 billion at the end of the year, so... and that will not change dramatically with Martec.
Yeah.
Well, apart from partnerships, how do you want to tackle the ongoing problems in the pharmaceutical section?
Stefan.
Yeah. maybe to step back to remember that the pharma industry is in a massive change mode. Most of the innovative drugs that used to be approved regularly are coming off patents. So there is a drastic shift towards generic, and national governments are under tremendous stress from a healthcare budget point of view. So new drugs very rarely get approved now because the incremental benefit of reduced side effects or a little bit better effectiveness does not justify the additional cost to the national economy. So our customers' business model, the blockbuster business model, does not work anymore, or for sure not as well as it did before. So many of the pharma companies are having different strategies now, going heavily into the generic field, going into the emerging markets, or going into adjacent fields like nutrition. And that is all having an impact on our industry. Now, our pharmaceutical products business, which is most affected, is a custom supplier to that industry. You have to look at really three businesses. One is small molecules, so traditional medicines. There, the pressure is the highest, where more and more of the active pharmaceutical ingredients are sourced from the East. We have a very Western-based manufacturing footprint that will need to be complemented with an Eastern footprint, and there we are in multiple discussions with partners. Our second business there is at the newer medicines, large molecule medicines, also often called biologics. That business is actually quite successful, growing rapidly, from albeit from a small base. And as you know, we are building a facility there in Brisbane, Australia, fully funded by the Australian government, to complement our facility here in Groningen in this country. And then our third business is a secondary manufacturing for highly sophisticated injectable drugs in the United States. That business is very much a local for local business, and it performs quite well, because these finished dosage or these final product forms are more, companies want to have them in their local region. In the partnership discussions, of course, partners who are in the East look at it the opposite way. They look at large pharma companies in the West who are still the brand owners. We have very strong relationships with those pharma companies. We have a very strong track record from a quality point of view. So the combination of an Eastern company and our footprint here can be very powerful. And I think that's very much the direction we're going. Yeah, in addition to that, we have, of course, a venture in the biologics field where we transformed the joint venture we have with Crucell, now Johnson & Johnson, where we not only built our Percy 6 platform, a human cell line platform, but also get into the field of biosimilars and biobetters based on that Percy 6 technology platform.
So multiple set of actions in the different businesses, partly in innovation biopharmaceuticals and partly in adding partnerships like Sinochem is the first step. Others? Yeah, please.
This sounds about two questions, one about innovation, one about energy. You mentioned that you may, well, you are setting up a second innovation center in China, R&D center. Could you expand a little bit more on that, on the experience with the first center that is in, I think, in Pudong, if I'm right, and how it cooperates with the Dutch innovation center, which is focused on open innovation. I was wondering if China is doing the same model. The second question about energy, of course, divested the energy assets in the Netherlands. I was wondering, are you still involved? I came across this subsidiary Hexagon, which is exploring for unconventional gas, coalbed methane. I was wondering if DSM is still interested in that kind of thing. Yeah.
Maybe Nico, you can say something about energy, and then I can add something about China.
Yeah, I think, if you look into energy a little bit broader, I mean, for DSM as a company, and you find it also back in our targets towards 2015, in general, energy and energy saving is a very important element in what we do, not only in our own facilities, but very much so also in the type of products that we bring into the market. So there, indeed, a lot of activity of DSM is focused on, and you see our targets towards the year 2020 of the reduction that we are striving for. That means that there the focus in the units is, we are not that very much, let's say, further in the business, we divested our energy activities, and it is not our interest next to, of course, the situation that we still have in part of Limburg, but next to that we have no ambitions to enlarge our activities in the energy field.
What exactly are your plans in Limburg?
Now we have still the concession rights in the northern part of Limburg, and that is what we have, and that is where we will monitor the developments there, and as the moment is there to do more with it than just owning it, we will publish that and we will come back with that.
But it means also broader investments in Limburg in DSM Turbo.
Oh, next to the energy field, yeah. I think an element, and that comes across quite a lot in questions from you or your colleagues, it is indeed the fact, which was one of the first questions, that a large part of the growth of DSM, roughly 70% of the future growth of DSM, will come from the high growth economies. But that still means that a substantial part of DSM is also coming from other parts of the world. That means that, yes, we are investing heavily in the high-growth economies, but next to that, we continue to invest also in our existing facilities in other parts of the world. That means there we see ample opportunities to capture also those growths which we see in areas like Europe and the United States. But next to that, of course, a big part of our innovation machine is still in the Western world, in countries like Switzerland, in countries like Europe, and also in the Netherlands, and also there we will not leave those activities apart, and we will constantly also invest our energy and our money in those activities. So the spreading of the activities of DSM is not so much or there, it is an end situation that we are in.
Yeah. We still invest, I come back on the innovation question, we still invest a lot. Also in the Netherlands, so it is not that all our investments are only in China or India, etc. Of course, you see a shift over the years, but it's still not still. It is a substantial investment which we do in the Netherlands also. And like Nico said, especially also for innovation, plays a very important role. Coming back on your question, like Nico said, the traditional energy business, in fact, we are out. Where we are in is the innovative new energy business, and we make those coatings for solar cells to have less reflection and more transmission. We make composite resins for making windmill blades bigger. We work on second generation biofuels, etc. So in the new alternative energies, of course, that fits very much next to our products, like Nico mentioned, which are energy savings, like products like Stanil, etc., for the automotive industry, which makes cars lighter because we replace metals and therefore also save energy. In China, we know there is always carefulness about intellectual property in China, discussions about that. And of course, you need to do things careful and smart. And of course, we want to defend as DSM our intellectual property all over the world, also in China. As I said before, we see that China is issuing more and more patents every year and more shifting towards innovation R&D activities. And I think you see a change in mentality, in behavior, in legal systems, etc., around intellectual property also in China. And that goes together with the strengthened position of China themselves into the whole innovation R&D field, having a lot of patents and a strong interest, I think, of China themselves to respect intellectual property rights, since China is owning a lot of those rights also themselves. That means that we increasingly look also for R&D and innovation towards China. Of course, we will do things step by step. We will not overrush and overrun ourselves. We will do the things step by step. But we have, I think at this moment, we're ramping up from 50 to 100 and later on maybe up to a couple of hundreds of people in R&D in China. First steps, 50 to 100 people happening now, moving up to a couple of hundreds of people. In innovation, it goes further than R&D itself. It moves also to seeing are there new opportunities in India, in China, which maybe we don't immediately see here in the West. So we want to be open for that, also to come with new creative ideas. Because since the Asian markets and the emerging markets are expanding, but the same counts for Latin America, a new group of consumers come on the market. And it might be even stronger, it will be, that those new group of consumers have different demands also, and not exactly the same demands. Partly the demands is copying of the Western demands, growth of demands, partly it's new demands. If you look to food, people in Asia wake up with a different food pattern than the Western people. In Holland, you start with bread and chocolate chips on your bread. It's not the normal Asian diet as you are used to wake up, I guess. I would not recommend it either, by the way. And that's creating new things. But also in the field which we discussed in alternative energy, China's having the biggest wind parks in the world. The biggest solar cell parks in the world are built in at this moment in China. So we want to see also what's happening there. So they have also those innovation efforts.
Could you please give an update about your activities in biofuels and how is Martec fitting in?
Yeah, in biofuels we work, we maybe a little bit broader context, we work on biochemicals and biofuels in our former ABA, Y Biotechnology, we now call it, biosolutions and services in bioproducts and services. Always need to think about this. In that field, we work on biochemicals, so based on biotechnology, renewable chemicals, renewable feedstock, biotechnology process. There we use also first generation technology. And we believe that is not a problem. It is okay to change chemicals to a biochemical process using first-generation technology, since the biochemicals is a complete different volume stream and does not really influence the food market. So you talk about 0.5 or 1% of global or in certain regions impact on the food market. So the streams are that small that it has not an influence on the food market. So that we do, amongst others, succinic acid, which we launched on the market. Biofuels, the volume streams are completely different. If you look to our corn in the United States last year, 30% of the corn, 3-0, was used for biofuels, first generation. And then we say, hey, this is different than between 0.5 and 1%. This is a bigger influence on the global food market in terms of volume streams and therefore influencing the food market. So therefore, for biofuels, we said we do not work on first generation, only on second generation, using not the food component, but the waste component, so leaves and roots, etc. Then you move using the glucose, the food component, towards cellulose, which is much more complicated. We announced last summer that we have developed a unique technology of yeast, especially a microorganism, to work on this second-generation biofuels. What you do, you need a system containing out of enzymes and microorganisms, yeast, and we are, in fact, the only company having a system of enzymes and microorganisms in the world. And you convert cellulose, and you get then so-called technical C5, C6 sugars. You do not get only C6 sugars, which is the easy conversion into ethanol. And we have a technology converting also C5 sugars, and that is absolutely needed because if you use cellulose, you need to convert C5 sugars also, because otherwise you have a very low yielding process. Now, the technology is there. We have patented. We are ramping up. We are ramping up the yields at this moment. The application had some delay, although we are running okay with our technology, but you still need to apply the technology. Because it needs to be applied in companies investing in biorefineries where they can use our technology for second-generation biofuels. And those are not yet there on a big scale, although at this moment several companies in the world, and I guess at a certain moment we will come with announcements in that field with whom we collaborate with, several companies in the world are in considering or are preparing investments, as we know, into that, and you will see that maybe some of those will work then with our technologies. So it's moving in the right direction. The economic downturn created some delay, but moving in the right direction. Martek, we bought Martek for the infant formula and infant nutrition, but indeed it is on an LG technology platform for the omega-3, omega-6 fatty acids, that is true. And we said we can use that also with biofuels. Stefan.
Yeah. BP, of course, has a partnership with Martek for a biofuel project, and that is very complementary to the project that Vaike already mentioned. And we look forward to continue that with BP and build on it.
It's a spin-off. It's very nice. It fits excellent with DSM, but was not the main reason acquiring Martek. Others.
I have a question for Mr. Schwab. Because you, I think at an analyst call, you said that 50% of your currency exposure you have hedged, but at what rates?
Now we have a rolling hedging mechanism, yeah. So we hedge every quarter for a piece of the following year. And for I can check that. I mean the rates we don't hide it, which we have is it was hedged for 2010. So we also for 2011, and we do hedge already for 2012. In the meantime, so for example for 2011, we have hedged the U.S. dollar at 1.34, so more or less at the current rate, a little bit better.
That's for 2011.
Yeah. And we have hedged the dollar versus the Swiss franc at 1.04.
What a certain part.
That's a question.
Yeah.
Last question from my part. What do you think of the Dutch industry policy that has been announced 2 weeks ago, where you have a number of focus areas that they want to support, in which chemicals is one, chemistry is one of them, I think. Have you an opinion on that, good or bad?
Undoubtedly. I was member of the previous innovation platform in the Netherlands. I think, my personal opinion, I think it's good for the Netherlands to focus. We are too small to say we want to focus on, we don't do all areas in the world. You need to choose some sectors. Well, previously in previous government that was called key areas. Now it's called top sectors, okay, fine, same wording, different, and the areas were slightly different in terms of focus, but I think if you look to the Netherlands, where the agro-food industry is 15% of the BNP and the chemical industry another 15%, together 30% of the Netherlands, to focus on the innovation in the chemical industry and to focus on the innovation in the agro-food industry is a very smart one. It's 30% of the country's industrial activities and a lot of innovation. And those two fields, with biofuels, etc., even come closer together. So I think that's a good high-tech sector, etc. Question I always had, do we really put, because it's top sectors, do we really put all the a substantial part of our innovation stimulation measures into those fields. And although we call it top sectors, it's still a limited amount of the total innovation stimulation in the Netherlands which is going into those fields. We focus on those, but a lot is still generic stimulation in the Netherlands. And that's an economic theory. You can have a long debate on that. I propose not to do that now. But some people promote generic industry stimulation, and I'm personally of the opinion that much more focused industry stimulation is important. I always compare ourselves with countries like maybe Finland or Singapore, etc., and not so much with the United States. I think Finland and Singapore may be better comparisons with the Netherlands and the US.
You think 9 sectors is focused enough?
Let me answer that question by saying that I found it a very good question. And that reveals part of my answer.
I'd like to know if about oil prices, how are what's your exposure to oil prices? I mean, as a raw material, how important is it? And if you think that the political issues and North Africa and Middle East may affect your costs in the next quarters?
I think oil prices are important directly and indirectly. With that I mean that higher oil prices will also lead to higher electricity prices, so that results in increasing cost. Directly, most of the time, higher oil prices also lead to high raw material prices. That is an element which we see in also in the first week and months of this year already, that next to the steep increase in raw materials that we have seen in the last quarter, that trend is continuing, and that means that there is quite an effort in DSM, but also in other companies, to pass on these higher input prices into higher final product prices. And in some of DSM's businesses, and the most dominant example is caprolactam, you see that there it is almost an immediate increase in final product prices resulting from higher raw material prices. In other sectors, for instance, some of the business groups in performance materials, you see that we need a little bit more time to get those higher input prices translated into higher sales prices, just because of the fact that in those specialty areas where we are working, it is not common usage that you immediately increase the prices, but there most of the time, 1 month or a couple of months time is needed to overcome those higher input prices. So yes, we see that development, but we also, given the good demand supply situation in most of our products, we are absolutely confident that we will pass on those higher input prices into the sales prices.
Well, what we said are the two elements in this increased prices. Our oil prices now above 90, especially last week. There are two driving elements, I think. One is the raw material price, the oil prices are going up due to increased demand. India, China, etc. That's already happening for, I think, over half a year. And that at the end, like Nico is saying, that at the end, drives up all kinds of raw material prices, benzene, styrene, etc. And with some delay always, we will pass that on to our materials. And in fact, it is not bad that raw material price increase, because it indicates that there is an underlying demand for all kinds of products. That's the reason why those prices are going up. And at the end, there's not only an underlying demand for using oil and gasoline for your cars, but you need also cars to use the oil. So, and those materials of us goes again in the car. So in principle, it does not have to be bad for our business at all. That's one element. The other element is there that today you see that there's another driving force, which is not demand related, but is uncertainty and speculation related in Northern Africa and Middle East. Now, we have very limited activities over there, so immediately we're not exposed to or hurt by that. But of course, if speculation or uncertainty in that market increases, yeah, of course, that is not a pleasant development. I think not even for us, but for the whole world. And that's another element which plays a role. Other quick questions? Yeah.
Do you have a certain kind of time schedule for pharma? I kind of mentioned that you say, well, there are difficulties in the markets. It's structural, it takes time, but you as DSM say, well, we want to have a better strategic position with pharma within 1 year, 2 years.
We certainly are very much in a high urgency mode to get that done, but with a partnership would always take two to tango, so we will not commit publicly to an end date. Rest assured, the urgency is very high.
Yeah, if I may add that, if we said that, I think hinted that before coming back on your question, we have a strategy for the next 5 years, 2015. We have financial targets towards 2013. And the hurry is at least within that time period, if not earlier. So this is not something which we need to repair towards 2015, but it's something which we need to repair towards clearly within the period we set our target. So that's not a long period we have.
Thank you.
presentation, at least 80% of pipeline would be eco. So could you tell us the definition of eco? And probably, I think, as a life science and the material science company, of course, the current DSM is already a life science and material science company. And within the next 5 years, DSM will be the life science and materials company. But what would be the difference between the current DSM and the DSM in 2015?
The DSM in 2015 is even stronger than the DSM today. The DSM in 2015 is even bigger than the DSM today because we do not want to divest parts anymore. We want to grow the company. So size will be an important one. We will not change fields. We will be active in exactly the same field, in life science, material science. You most likely see that the what was called the emerging business areas, the cross-fertilization, the innovation areas between the two businesses in biofuels, biochemicals, biomaterials, and those kind of steps, that will be more materialized. We put $1 billion sales in 2020, so you will see in 2015 already the first sales of that, of course. So you see a bigger DSM, a stronger DSM, a more international DSM, 70% of the growth coming from the high-growth economies. So you see that it will be more internationally spread. So on those kind of things, you will see the change. Sustainability, Eco Plus, plays a very important role. I think in the press release, at least in the annual report, there's even a footnote with a definition, I thought, about that.
It's in the press release.
Press release on page what?
It's on page 13, but basically it's a very simple explanation that what we call Eco Plus is that the Eco Plus products have a better eco footprint than their mainstream products that are now in the market, and that better footprint is measured basically from the cradle to the grave of the product. So calculating from the basic raw materials which are used for producing this product until the end of the life cycle of the product. So that is the definition you can, and very often is referred to as the LCA, the life cycle assessment of a product.
Sustainability, Eco Plus, etc. is also put in our own remuneration schedule as a managing board. As you know, 50% of our targets are financially related, 50% of our targets are related to sustainability. There's recently a lot of debates about all those sustainability targets, but we as DSM say we link that to our own actions. So you see in our annual report a justification of that. We link it to our own effort we do in Eco Plus, in greenhouse gas emissions, etc. Yeah, one maybe quick question,
last
please.
Question.
Yeah.
I'm sure when I return at the office that the other people in the newspaper will ask me what's about the logo. What does it mean? I have no answer.
Okay. This is the flag on our ship. Because that is what the logo is. So it's a symbol. And it may be first a tagline. Why do we say Pride Science, Brighter Living? Because that's in fact what the company does. We are a company based on science, on technology, and competences. Bright in English has two meanings. It's smart, and it is also nice, brighter, joyful, colorful, etc. So bright science, the bright maybe you can interpret yourself, but means a little bit smart. We have bright science, bright scientists. And where do we use the bright science for? We use it to improve the quality of life, because that's in fact what the company is doing nowadays. We made from our values our businesses. That's what DSM did. Sustainability is almost all we do in our businesses. So brighter living. Now what you see in the logo, you see this colorfulness and this brightness, and maybe both of our science and of our technology. You see a lot of movements into that. If you want, you can see growth into that, a moving and growing circle. It is not that certain colors stand for certain of our businesses, but the different colors stand that we are active in several application businesses, in life science, material science, but it is not that we allocated one color to life science, one color to material science, but it is a different business we have. And it represents also the different diversity we have in our own people and skills and competences and people around the world, these different colors. If you look very carefully, some people, especially in the original part of the ESM in the Netherlands, in the southern part, see, hey, that's at that point in the middle. Is that not, is that just something which is in the middle, or is that still something from the former logo where DSM is emerged from? And that's true. It's deliberate. That middle is not by coincidence. We do not regret nor forget the past where we developed from. And there you see the old DSM. And what we did deliberately last week is informing first our own people. We had some debates on that. Some companies want to do it at the same moment, risk of leakage, etc. We said, okay, we take that risk. I saw that some televisions in the southern part of the Netherlands published it already in last week, because of course it was leaking somewhere, and we've informed thousands of people. What we did last week, and we will do with you in a few seconds, we invited all our people, 23,000 people, and more than 90% went to the local cinema, and we showed them there a movie, which we would like to show also to you, and explained the whole transformation of DSM and marked this moment into moving into the new DSM. And the people were very, very enthusiastic. First, that we only touched first our own people before the external world. And I think it's important, because the brand and the company is made by the people who act in the company. They represent the company. And what you see, we discussed with some people earlier, why are the people enthusiastic? Some people are really moved and touched by that. Because I think increasingly with DSM, the things fit together. Our things, the way we talk about our business, the way we talk about leadership, the way we talk about diversity, the way we use our values, the culture change program which DSM did, together with the business transformation of DSM, all those things fit together. And I think personally, it goes a little bit further than business, it goes about how you run your business, how you run your company. But I think those elements are very, very important. If those things do not fit together, people do not understand it and do not have an emotional connection with your company. If you bring it fitting together, then people understand it and stand for the company. And that I would like to show to you too in a second. And I think we do that in the other building.
And for the people on the webcast, that movie is also available on our website later today.
We need to thank the people on the webcast, and we want to close this session. We move to seeing the video and movie, and you can do that. And therefore, we close the webcast. Right. Thank you.